if you don't have Father, you're fearful. And if you've rejected Father in your life, you probably live and wrestle with a lot of fear. But it says we didn't get that Spirit from God. It says instead we received God's Spirit when He adopted us as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. Man, I wish I was a good enough Bible teacher to really help you understand the intense impact that the word Abba should bring to us. This is not a distant religious figure. This is like my son climbing up in my lap and saying, "Daddy, I love you," and kissing me on the mouth. My oldest child will never kiss me on the mouth. My second one will if I make him. And David just comes up and lays it on me, man. I don't know why, man, but he has that affection in his heart for his father. But the point is, it's very intimate, it's very personal, and honestly, guys, most of us do not feel comfortable with being that close to God. We're okay with God being a redeemer who sent His Son to die on the cross to take away our sin, but see, if we've not let the Spirit inside of us that cries out, Abba, connect us to Father, then we're really missing out on what God's plan A for our life is. Plan A for you is to be so connected with the Father in heaven that you could say, just like Jesus said, I see what He's doing and I do it. I hear what He's saying and I say it. And so you've got to be pretty close in proximity to hear what somebody's saying, especially if they're speaking in a still, small voice. You know, you might associate Father with your football coach who yelled at you across the football field, and you could hear him from a long ways away. Snellgrove, what are you doing over there? But that's really not the primary thing that Father wants to do. He wants to come up beside you and say, "Hey, remember who you are. You're strong. You're courageous. You got this, son, because I'm right here with you." See, if you're going to hear that voice, you're going to have to be pretty close, aren't you? Because you don't hear a whisper across the football field. You got to be in pretty close proximity to hear that voice say, "You're strong, you're courageous, you're my son, you can do this, I believe in you, I've put my Spirit in you." So being reconnected to our Father in heaven is God's plan to redeem and restore the earth. Father is the answer. I know we've seen Jesus is the answer, but Jesus was trying to get us reconnected to one person, that's Father God. And there is a hierarchy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Spirit and the Son have only one job to do, is to reconnect us to the Father. If the Spirit's inside of you today, it's crying out, "Daddy, Daddy, Father." And so some of us have this terrible relationship with our earthly father. It's really ruined our relationship with God. I'm asking you today to consider a forgiveness choice, to let that guy off the hook and to say, you know what? It says in Hebrews, earthly fathers disciplined the best they could, as best they knew how. But man, at some point we have to go beyond. I'm not in constant contact with my father on earth anymore. I mean, I talk to him probably once a week, but I'm talking about I'm in constant contact with my Father in heaven. And if I have father issues, if I have identity issues, I'll never really want to connect to God's plan for my life, because it means I've got to accept Father. For some people, that's a really painful topic. For some people, it's like, yeah, great, no problem. But here's what I want to say today. God's gift to us is fatherhood. It's plan A. And fatherhood is God's redemptive plan for the earth. So, no wonder our culture is in turmoil. Human fatherhood is meant to be a representation of God's fatherhood. So your relationship with your dad on earth is supposed to be the perfect introduction for you to your heavenly Father. Okay, it's real easy to get fixated on how screwed up dad was. Let's think about how we are being father to our children. It's real easy to get fixated on what a screw up you are. But that's not the point of any of this teaching today. The point is, if we could connect to perfect Father, then he could express his love, forgiveness, peace, and directional voice through us to all the people in our circle of influence, primarily your wife and kids. But no wonder fatherhood's under attack if this is God's plan to redeem the earth, is to restore us back to Father. I mean, there's people out there who say they love Jesus, but they don't love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, you love God's order. You love God. God put a man in the garden to bring order into chaos. God's plan, see, here's how I know it. When you got churches wanting to embrace lifestyles that are outside of biblical truth, then they don't want Father, because Father brings order. If you're acting up, who's the last person you want to see? Father, because he's going to whip your butt. He's going to spank you and straighten you out and tell you to straighten up and act right and do the right thing. And he's going to do it because he loves you, because he knows if you keep going down that path, it winds up in destruction. And our culture is on a collision course with destruction. No wonder fatherhood is under such attack. In our current culture, there's a complete disrespect for the idea of father. I mean, there's all kinds of, if you watch any kind of sitcoms, which I don't even watch anymore because they're just disgusting, but if you try to watch any normal TV on networks today, it's like, what, there was this show called The New Norm. Don't bother watching it. Because the new norm is mom's the smartest person in the world, dad's an idiot, and everybody should be homosexual because that's the cool thing to do. You know, it doesn't even make sense. How are you going to... I'm not real worried about the homosexuals taking over the world because they don't have any way to procreate. Everybody's worried about, what is it, LGBT, and I think they've added some more initials to it. Hey, I love people. God loves those people. Father loves those people, but he's got a rod of discipline for them. And he accepts you, but he's going to bust your butt and tell you, straighten up, I did not make you to live that way. Come on, guys, we need to understand that Father tells us the proper order of things, and he does it because he loves us, because he wants us to walk in peace and prosperity, and you will not prosper as a man if you're following the norm of culture. You'll not prosper in the kingdom of God. You might prosper in worldly means. I don't know. I'm not in charge of that. There is a world system that feeds off of itself, but we're not here to try to maximize that system. We're trying to learn how to live in the kingdom of God. So some men have really messed this up. I already mentioned this. I'm going to say it again. And I'm sorry if your father hurt you. I bet he wasn't trying to. And if he was, I'm really sorry for that too. But I hope that we can forgive Father and discover God's divine plan for us to be a fatherhood of men. We're called together to be a fatherhood. Whether you ever have your own children or not, matters not. You are supposed to be an expression of Father God to all the people around you. So Malachi said it this way, verse 5 of chapter 4. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And people are always worried about, did that happen? Is that happening? If you wanted to, here's what it says to me. If you want to destroy a culture, remove the fathers. Stop respecting fatherhood, and you'll have a decree of utter destruction. So, American culture is on a collision course with destruction, but we don't have to go with the flow of culture. We can be counterculture and have a kingdom of God culture, a biblical culture, right here. So, God's all about father. Let's look at some recent research. In one national survey, 400 men were given the choice between going through two different negative experiences. So 400 guys got asked this question. There's two different negative experiences. Which one would you prefer? And here's what they were. If you're forced to choose from one of the following, to be left alone and unloved would be one. Alone and unloved. Second, to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone. 74% of these men said if they were forced to choose between one of these two negative circumstances, they would prefer to be alone and unloved. Let me translate. Men would rather be alone and unloved than to be disrespected. So here's what happens. If you feel disrespected, you pretty much withdraw from the situation. You just go, I'd rather be alone. And this is typical to men. You walk into your house, you want to be honored, you want to be respected, you want to be loved, you want to be held in the highest place of respect because you're the father of the house. And you feel that way on purpose because God made you to want to feel that way. And you're looking at this woman and these children going, my goodness, what's wrong with these people? They don't appreciate that I've been busting my butt all day so that they can sit here and watch that stupid TV in an air-conditioned house. They don't appreciate me, by God. You ever felt that way? Come on. I know every one of you have felt that way at some time. Well, it's because you crave respect and honor. And so when you don't feel it, your temptation is to withdraw. And that's the worst thing you could do for your family. You need to step up and teach them how to respect you. Dr. Phil says it this way. You teach people how to treat you. And you really do. So you're going to have to teach your wife and kids how to respect you. You know how you're going to do it? You reap what you sow. How about you respect them first? Well, that's the only way it's going to happen. Unless somebody comes from the outside and throws some magic sauce on them, they are never going to learn how to respect you unless you first respect and honor them and treat them and serve them and love them. Guess what? If you serve people, they'll end up wanting to serve you back because they want to reciprocate. That's the natural law of the universe. That's what God put into effect. But men would rather be alone and unloved than be disrespected. So what's that mean? Respect is a big deal to us. You know, you want to know why men love coming to this church? Because we respect you here. We preach and teach a fatherhood message that's from the Bible that says you matter, you're worth it, you're the people who are going to impact the world. We have designed our church to reach men before women. You go, well, that's prejudicial. No, it's not. It's smart. Because statistically, if you reach the dad, you reach the whole family a lot faster. So many churches are designed trying to reach kids, hoping that'll reach the family. Good luck. I mean, I'm okay with reaching kids. We have great kids ministry here. We're not going to deny that. We're not going to put it to the side. But we're first going to go after men. Why? Because men bring order into chaos. If a family's in disarray, we're going to preach the gospel to everybody who walks in this door, but we are going to have a flavor and a flair that reaches men first. Why? Because men change the world. Your leaders, your protectors, your providers. If you can get right with Jesus, your family will follow you because God designed them to want to follow. He designed you to want to lead. And that presents a little bit of a conflict with most men. I'm supposed to lead. Yeah, but you'll never be a great leader until you're a great follower. I've been trying to teach my teenage boys that right now. Because they can point out what's wrong with each other and me all the time. They're very good analysts. And they know everything that's wrong with me and everything that's wrong with every situation. I said, you'll never get to be the leader until you first learn to be a follower. So that's why you're a son before you're a father. I can't teach all that right now. So let's be honest and talk about what's gone on in America in regard to fatherhood. Here's some ugly statistics. 63% of all teenage suicides come from fatherless homes. 72% of adolescent murderers are from fatherless homes. 60% of America's rapists are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway kids are from fatherless homes. The Bible says you have not many fathers, and that's right. We have a lot of sperm donors, but not many fathers. Just because you can have the ability to procreate doesn't mean you know what it's like to be a father. You might be a biological father, but do you really know what it means to be a father from biblical, a godly perspective? So I'm proud of you guys. Most of you are still got your family intact. Way to go. Work hard. It's the most important thing you'll ever do. is love your wife and raise your kids. And if you prove to be successful there, then you could go anywhere in the world and be successful. But we spend all of our time trying to be successful in the world and fail at home way too many times. Put your best energy at home. Well, what if that means I make less money? Great. At least your wife loves you and respects you. How about you go out here and make all the money in the world and you go home and nobody respects you? You'll just build a man cave in the back and never talk to anybody with all that money you made. Or you'll just stay at work all the time because your secretary respects you. She only does that because you pay her. How come men are tempted to have affairs with their secretaries or their administrative assistants? Because they do what you tell them to. Your wife don't do what you tell her to. Unless you've learned to love and respect her and honor her, then she will actually do what you ask her to because you've earned it. You didn't earn it at work. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But men love to go to work and be in that environment because they feel respected. That's great. I hope you feel respected at work. I hope you have a wonderful experience there. But if you don't feel respected at home, we really need to get down to the bottom issue here, because God's plan to redeem your kids is not sending them to vacation Bible school. God's plan to redeem your kids is for you to lay down your life for your wife and them like Jesus did the church. And man, that's a challenging thing. So let's just get back to the topic of fatherhood. You are a father when these words describe you: source, sustainer, protector, provider, nurturer, admonisher, progenitor, and leader. Those are big concepts, and I can't cover every one of those. But those words begin to describe what a father is. Now, think about Father God. He is your source. He is your sustainer. He is your protector. He is your provider. He nurtures you, but he also admonishes you. He's your progenitor. He continues to reproduce. And he's your leader. So, Father God, we're going to talk about the first two, source and sustainer. Father God is both source and sustainer. We talked about this Sunday morning if you were here at church. So when God creates something, he always uses the source to sustain it. Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that was pleasant for sight and good for food. So the source of plants was earth, so the sustainer of plants is earth, dirt. Good dirt grows good plants, right? Good dirt grows good plants. God creates man in Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So he creates your physical body out of dirt, but then it says he breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. That's the word, a Hebrew word, achai nefesh, a living soul. So we're different than animals. We're different than dogs. We're different than cows. We actually have this soul about us where we're not just living and needing to eat. We also have to be fed in our inner man. That's where this thing for respect and honor comes in. You want to be fed in your soul. And so, guys, if you want to first be respected at home, let God pour into you your identity. Get a relationship with Father God. He'll tell you you're respected. He'll tell you you're honorable. He'll make you feel good about yourself, because that's what fathers do. They believe in you even when nobody else does. Woo, come on, man. You know what? I mean, it didn't matter if I was stinking it up on the football field. My dad still thought I was the best player on the team because Dad believed in me. And that gave me the strength to keep pressing on until I actually became a football player. Come on, think about it. Do you feel like you got what it takes? And see, the problem is we want our wife to tell us we got what it takes. That's not her job. Father tells you you got what it takes. So if you didn't get it from your earthly dad, you're probably at a deficit. I'm sorry, but your heavenly Father still treats you like his child, because you'll always be a child of God. No matter how old you get, no matter how big you, strong, or financially stable you are, you're still a child of God, so you still need your daddy to tell you every morning, son, you got what it takes. I believe in you. Come on, let's go tackle this day. Let's go conquer the world. Let's do this thing. Let's go love people. Let's go energize the world. Let's go make money. Come on, son, I believe in you. You've got what it takes. We need that connection with Father. He's our source and our sustainer. I mean, yeah, you need good dirt. You need vitamins and minerals. But you really need spiritual vitamins and minerals. And so, you know, here's what's amazing to me. People who are bodybuilders and stuff, you know, they got so many muscles, they can't even straighten their arm out anymore. And we all think that's really cool. But most people who are all into that, they're not really into God. Because they're all about dirt. Guess what? Their muscles are going to get old and wrinkly someday too. I don't care how much plastic surgery you do. You don't look like 25 the rest of your life because this body's decaying. But it says your inner man is growing stronger day by day. Scripture says bodily discipline is awesome, but discipline for godliness is even more awesome. So how much time do we invest in connecting with Father? This whole declarative prayer thing is designed to help you get in touch with your Father and tell him who he is and hear back who you are. And it puts you in a paradigm where you can really let God really be your sustainer. So when God creates something, he always uses the source to sustain it. So dirt sustains plants and physical body. But a soul, the heart of a man, is sustained by the Spirit of God. So look at the screen. My spirit, the source and sustainer, is God. My body, the source and sustainer, is dirt. So you do need to eat right or you'll die early, okay? Now, I want to talk about women for a second. This is probably something you haven't thought about. If you have, cool. Genesis 2:21. How did God create woman? Out of man. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed it in the place with the flesh. And the rib that the Lord had taken out of the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then God said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, the man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were naked and not ashamed. Woman came out of man. You're going to like this. Man is her source and sustainer. Women function under dual headship. Of course, God is the head of every woman, but Scripture says the head of the woman is the husband. And if you don't like what's going on with your wife, you're probably not sustaining her very well by nurturing her and watering her with the water of the Word. The Bible says we should wash our wives with the water of the Word. So if you don't know the Word, how in the world are you going to wash her with it? How do you wash her with it? Well, you got to learn a new vocabulary. Women don't dig man talk. You know, we walk in here and go, hey, what's up? Shake hands, bump shoulders. Women don't like that. And the reason most men have a hard time connecting to their wives is because women are soft and delicate and tender and merciful. And we're like, ooh. I mean, we like flowers to look at, but we don't want to get too close to them. You want to enter that garden pretty often, though, don't you? Then you better learn how to be delicate and soft and tender-hearted, or she never open up the garden to you. You go, well, woman, you're supposed to be there for me. Well, good luck. If you don't know how to speak woman, you won't have much success getting in the garden. And I'm not saying you should learn to do this for that, but that's another big need, right? You want sexual fulfillment. But we don't relate to our wives in tender, loving, nurturing ways. And so we just get a cheap substitute, free porn. You don't have to pay for it anymore from what I hear. You can find it for free right there on the internet. And you think that's a relationship? Man, that's a fantasy. That's just like taking drugs, guys. Woman is came from man, and man's supposed to be your source and sustainer. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you don't like the way your wife's acting, look in the mirror. I understand she is an individual who has to give an account to God. I understand you're not in control of this person, but God designed woman to want to follow a man. Here's what I had to learn. As long as my problems were big and loud, Julie would never have to deal with her own problems because she could point her finger at me, and I'm such a big, loud mess up. But when I started dealing with myself and getting some order here, well, then naturally she had to look at herself because there was still some chaos in the situation. I wasn't bringing it anymore. And she finally had to go, oh, I guess I have issues too. And our relationship got better when we both start dealing with our issues. But you know what? You ain't never going to help your wife by yelling at her or giving her the cold shoulder or ignoring her or lecturing her. So you go, well, I don't yell. Yeah, but you lecture her. You try to teach her like you would another man. She ain't never going to receive it. So the Bible says man leaves his father and woman doesn't. She just goes from one fatherhood to another. So literally, father. I'm the father to my wife and my children. I'm the father of my household. You really are a fatherhood to her. You're a father figure to her. And if you live in such a way that honors her, loves her, respects her, treats her with kindness and gentleness, and washes her with the water of the word, she'll follow you anywhere. And that's all you need. Let's try to apply this message and be done. So God's gift to us is fatherhood. The goal is partnership. God gives man a woman. God gives man and woman the redemptive mandate. It's a partnership. See, when we try to separate ourselves from, well, I'm the man, she's the woman, we're supposed to be a partnership. The Bible says the two become one. So we're told to be fruitful, we're told to multiply, we're told to fill the earth, we're told to subdue the earth, rule over it, bring peace and mendedness and wholeness and order to a world that's broken. There is nothing better to evangelize the world than a healthy family. Because people will notice, you will stick out like a sore thumb in this culture if mama and daddy actually love each other and kids actually obey and honor their parents. You will stick out like a sore thumb, and people will come to you, literally, in restaurants and say, how do you get your kids to behave? It's because I love them, and I admonish them too. But it's because there's order in the house, because mom and dad are in agreement. We love each other. There's plenty of love. Kids are not really naturally going to be rebellious if there's an environment of love. I mean, I know a rebellion's bound up, foolishness bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline drives it far from them. But it don't take long to drive that out if there's enough love and nurture in the home where kids would rather be at home than out doing something else. I am thanking God. This has been my prayer. My kids are now teenagers, almost all of them. My last one's pretty close. And so far, so good. It seems like they'd rather bring their friends to my house than go hang out at somebody else's house. And I'm like, yes! That's because they feel loved and accepted there, but they feel like they have enough freedom to have fun too. I'm thanking God for this. That was not the way it was at my house. I wanted to get out and go. You hear what I'm saying? It's amazing that we can create an environment where our kids would really rather be around us than other people. That's counterculture. This is possible. That's all I'm trying to say. God's gift to us is fatherhood. It's plan A for the redeeming of the world. Fatherhood is God's redemptive plan. It's plan A. If we reject fatherhood, God's plan fails. God's plan for chaos, confusion, and darkness was to place a man and a woman in the garden. God's mean for redeeming the disorder was a man and a woman. By the way, it still is. Get married, have some kids, raise them right, and rule the world. Come on, church. Woo! This is a fun thing. This is a beautiful, awesome, amazing plan that God's put before us. So I want to ask you to seriously think about a few things and keep an open mind and heart as I finish right here. Think about this. Adam's gift to us was rejecting Father. You realize that? Father God said, don't do this, and he did it. And then he tried to make excuses for why he did it. That was Adam's gift to the world. We're all born in Adam. It's called original sin. So his gift to us literally was fatherlessness, separation from Father. He chose to reject his Father's instruction. Think about how he did it, though. He listened to his wife instead of his father. So I've made it clear, right? You need to get your identity from the woman or from God? God. The woman should receive her identity from you. The children should receive their identity from you. Problem is, most men are wanting to get their identity from their woman because she's present and you want what she has. And so you'll bow down to her every whim and desire. That is not the way to win your wife. I mean, do whatever you can to love her and give her whatever you can. I'm not saying don't be nice to your wife, but she cannot be your source of identity. God has to be. Because when he listened to his wife instead of his father, he let his wife lead him. If your wife is not leading you back to Father, then don't listen to her. Does this sound contradictory? It shouldn't. God is still the center of it all. And you got to have a God-centered home. So he chose Eve's leadership rather than God. I'm just trying to describe what happened to us. And we all are born into this. But think about this. Who are you more afraid of? Your wife or God? Every one of you are more afraid of your wife than you are God. I never knew when I got married that a 5'2" little blonde-headed chick could scare me so bad. I had no idea that I would jump through hoops to try to please her because I was so afraid of her rejection. I promise you, most men are more afraid of their wife than they are God. But you shouldn't be. I mean, yeah, you should be afraid of her because she could do some damage. But I'm saying the problem is Adam feared woman more than he feared God. We got to get this thing back in order. And we have the ability because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, which cries out, Abba, Father. And if we can connect with Father, then we can be an incredible husband and father to our household. So, leaders and men are easy targets. Husbands are easy targets because they're out in front trying to set the direction. So, you go, yeah, I know, man, they're always stabbing me in the back. But I want you to flip it. Think about yourself. Who's your leader? Are you supporting the leaders in your life or attacking them? Because you reap what you sow. So you go, well, my wife and kids don't respect me. Well, are you respecting anybody? Are you following anybody? Because you'll never have order in your house unless you're stepping into the flow. You can't be a leader unless you're a good follower. So here's how I lead every day. Here's how a man should lead every day. God, I'm following you, and I'm following the people you put in charge of me, and then I'm going to trust that you're going to cause those behind me to follow me. That's a simple plan, isn't it? God, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to believe that you're going to bring order into every bit of this chaos behind me. And so God's going to turn your face around and tell you to love your wife today and be sweet to her and tell you to correct your children and love your children and nurture them. But here's all I'm trying to say, guys. Fatherhood is God's plan to redeem the earth. It's not just a way for you to have a good home. It's God's redemptive plan. So fatherhood is under attack. It's really an attack on God's plan for the earth. Will you accept God's mission? to be a father and to be in a company of fathers who give love and nurture and admonition and direction and identity to a whole group of people around you. So, there's a handout. Will you guys hand those out right quick? And this is what we're going to end on. So I want you to be able to take this home and really mull over it and think over it and meditate on it. Because here's what I think. Most of us carry pain. Some of us carry anger. Some accusation. Some of us have an underlying grind against the issue of fatherhood, against the topic of fatherhood. So I want to ask you to look at this sheet as soon as you get one here. And then you can use this as a guide at your table, but also something to meditate on during the week. So I'm going to read through it real fast. Fatherhood. God's gift to us is fatherhood. Your relationship with your earthly father is supposed to be the perfect introduction to your relationship with your heavenly father. How did your dad or other father figure help direct you to a relationship with God? These words should describe a father: source, sustainer, protector, provider, progenitor, nurturer, leader, admonisher. Which of these roles was most valuable to you from your dad or father figure, and which one is easiest for you to live out? And what about one that's most challenging and why? Leaders, fathers, men are easy targets in our culture because they are out in front trying to set the direction. So, are you supporting the leaders in your life or attacking them? How is God asking you to improve your support? Think about how Adam did this. He listened to his wife instead of his father. He chose Eve's leadership rather than God's. Who are you more afraid of, your wife or God? Let's pray. God, we all confess today that we're afraid of our wives. And we love them and we want to be good fathers. We want to be we want to accept plan A, God. We want to be a redemptive agent in the earth. So help us today as we wrestle with, accept, look into, embrace the role of father, your fatherhood to us and our fatherhood to others. I pray that you would let this message stay with us and work in us in a deep way. In Jesus' name, amen.